I'm going to ask you if you have your copy of God's Word to turn to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I'm going to just let you remain seated tonight. I've got 16 verses I want to read. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 1 through 16. Well, the entire chapter there, I guess. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And it's been good to be in God's house tonight. I've enjoyed it. Enjoyed all the singing and fellowship and special singing. It's just been marvelous. This morning service, I tell you what, you just couldn't ask for a better service. It was just wonderful. But that service is over now, and we're in this service. And I'm trusting in Jesus to show us what He wants out of this one. And tonight, we've got a message, and like I had in the bulletins, and I mentioned, don't get afraid of that word doctrine. I keep saying that, I know, and you probably think I'm crazy. I keep mentioning it. But you'd be surprised how many people hear a certain word like that and they immediately turn the preacher off. They hear doctrine or something like that, and they just think, boy, it's too hard for me. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear something else. Well, tonight we're going to look at this passage of Scripture written by the Apostle Paul to his young son of the faith, Timothy. And you know that he was helping to shape and mold Timothy into the pastor that he needed to be, into this good Christian young man. And he had shaped and molded him and brought him along in the faith. And so let's read our text tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 4, start with verse 1. And here the Bible says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity and spirit and faith and purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Father, thank you for the reading of your word tonight. Lord, I'm now asking for your help to be able to deliver this message the way you would have it done. God, keep me hidden tonight. Let you be seen. And it's these things I ask in Jesus' name. And amen. If you underline things in your Bible, I want you to underline those words there in the beginning of verse 16. Underline, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine." Unto the doctrine. Now, I titled the message tonight, "Heed unto the doctrine." I've taken that title from our text. As I was looking over this text, well, actually it started last week as I was preaching on two different sermons there of doctrine. We talked about the doctrine of the pre-tribulation rapture, and we talked about the doctrine of the post-rapture salvation. And a lot of doctrine we've been involved in, and ever since then, the Lord has kept my focus upon that word doctrine. I just couldn't understand why I couldn't get it out of my mind, and so I began looking through the Bible at all the examples of doctrine that we find in the Bible. And there are literally hundreds of times in the Bible that word doctrine is used. Well, as I was praying and meditating and reading over Scripture and trying to seek the Lord's guidance in a message, He kept directing me to this doctrine. And that word doctrine, I looked it up, and, you know, a lot of people get tired of hearing, you know, in the Greek, in the Hebrew, and things like that. I understand that. But when we can get a good understanding of God's Word, I think it helps us I trust entirely in the King James translators, entirely. So they didn't need any help, but I like to go back and look at the original meanings of the Greek to be able to get a little better understanding for myself. Well, I looked up this word doctrine, and it comes from a Greek word which I'll probably completely missay, didaskalia, didaskalia. I believe that's how you say it, something like that. Anyway, the meaning of it is the function or information of instruction. The function or information of instruction. Now, when we approach Bible study and we approach doctrine in the Bible, we think of it as the way Webster defines it. Webster defines that word as a belief or set of beliefs held and taught by a church, political party, or other groups. Now, in our case, it's the doctrine held by the church, by Christians, by those that believe in the Lord. So when we say things like this, for example, this is the doctrine of blank. You know, somebody may come to you and say, what is the doctrine of salvation? What is the doctrine of eternal security? What is the doctrine of, anything? You can just pick out any subject in the Bible and put that in its place. So when we say things like that, what we're saying is this. We're saying that we believe what the Bible teaches, and we take that as truth, and that is what we base our beliefs of the Bible on, and our beliefs in the Lord, of what the Bible says. So we take the Word of God, we rightly divide the Word of truth, and we see what God says about subjects. Now, for example, this we're going to look at some examples here of the eternal security of the believer, and look at the doctrine behind that. I noticed that Jesus, the Bible mentions over and over and over that Jesus himself came teaching doctrine. You're going to find that in Mark 1 and 21 through 22. The Bible says this. It says, and they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And so Jesus came with a certain doctrine. This was a set of learned instructions that he was giving to these people. And they had never heard it before. Do you notice what the Bible said? They were astonished at his doctrine because it was different. It was different than what they'd been hearing taught by the scribes. The scribes were teaching something else. But Jesus comes teaching a new doctrine. And so it was kind of turning the world upside down. And he was teaching a doctrine. We preached just a few weeks ago when Jesus went into his own hometown of Nazareth. You remember that? He went to Nazareth and he stood up there in the synagogue and he started teaching from the Bible and he told them that he was the promised Messiah that Isaiah had promised. And they could not believe it. They would not believe it and they wanted to kill him. They took him over to the edge of a cliff and wanted to throw him head first off and kill the Son of God. They wanted to kill their own Messiah. Well, he left there and he went to another place just down the road. And what happened? Well, let me tell you what happened. And the Bible says in Luke 4 and 32 that those people in Capernaum, where he went to, were astonished at his doctrine. At his doctrine. For his word was with power. You see, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and these religious teachers of the day, they had no power or authority behind what they were saying. They could read Scripture, but honestly, they had no comprehension of what that Scripture meant. They could read it to you, and they could tell you law, and they could tell you where you're wrong, but they had no comprehension of what God intended for these people to understand. And Jesus come along, and they were astonished because he had this authority. I mean, when he said it, they believed it. They knew it, and they could tell by the way he spoke, he knew what he was talking about. And well, so later on, we read that Jesus was teaching in the temple. And those Pharisees were there. These Pharisees, they'd been teaching other things. Listen to what the Bible says in John 7 and 14. It says, now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? In other words, they thought Jesus was some stupid hillbilly. This guy's never learned. He's not been to rabbi school. What's he mean? How does he know this? Where does he get this information? Verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. So they want to know, where did you get this authority? How did you learn this? Because we know you didn't go to rabbi school. Nobody's got you on their roll books. And he says, hey, I got this doctrine from the Father. I got this from God. I got it from the supreme authority. That's where I got mine. And if you knew him, you would know that's where that's coming from. And he says, that's where I got it. So I think it's safe to say that the Lord puts great emphasis upon his doctrine, the doctrine of the Lord. Well, when it comes to doctrine, we can't just go in the Bible, grab something out, pick it out and say, okay, this is doctrine right here. Swing, there it is, this doctrine. You can't just pick and choose and grab in places thinking that's the doctrine. You could, if you take one passage of Scripture and base all your beliefs of doctrine on one verse of Scripture, you've done messed up. You need to do what the Bible says and rightly divide the word of truth. And when you do that, you will see that this verse agrees with this verse, that verse agrees with that verse, and you'll keep going and going and going. I want to show you, I'm going to prove that to you. Now, when it comes to doctrine, I mentioned eternal security. Now, right away, there's these groups of people say, oh, there, he's going to teach on eternal security. He's going to say that people are forever saved and they can't lose their salvation. That's exactly right. Because that is the doctrine of the Bible. Let me show you and prove to you that that's what it is. And this is how you do it. This is how you find your doctrine. Look, first of all, at John 3:16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He didn't say temporary life. He didn't say for a little while he'll have life. He said everlasting life. That word everlasting means forever, never to be taken away. Now, so if we take that, we say, okay, well, we see there he says everlasting life. But did he really mean that? Well, if he did, he says this in Matthew 25:46. He said, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, talking about the wicked. But then he says, but the righteous into life eternal. To life eternal. Who's the righteous? Well, if you rightly divide the word of truth, you can see those that are saved are the righteous. Those that are saved in God through Christ Jesus are righteous. And so they, the Bible says, have life eternal. Not eternal damnation, but life eternal. Then, John 10:27, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And we keep going through and look at Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Eternal life. And then we keep going over in 1 John 5:11-13. And this is the record that God has given to us. Eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. So what have we done? We have taken how many scriptures? I didn't count them up, but there's at least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's 6 different passages of Scripture we just went over from the Bible that we rightly divided. And they all agree with each other that those that are saved in Christ have eternal life. No mistake about it. None of them contradicted each other. None of them say if for a little while or temporary or maybe or anything like that. But he said they do, as a matter of fact, have eternal life. And he even went on to say that it could not be taken away from them. Can't be plucked out of his hand. Friends, if you're truly saved, you can't unsave yourself. So you're saved eternally. That is the doctrine of eternal security. And that's where we get that. And we're told 64 different places in the Bible that those that trust in Jesus as Savior have eternal life. 64 different times. And so that is what we base the doctrine of eternal security upon. Now, not everybody believes this. Surprise. Not everybody goes to the Bible, rightly divides it, finds all this proof, 64 different times where the Bible says you have eternal life if you believe in Jesus, and they deny it. They say, well, no, you can lose your salvation, you can mess up, you can sin, and if you sin and you don't ask for forgiveness before you die, then you're going to go to hell. So what they're saying when they say that is that the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross was not good enough, that they had something to do with their salvation. You had nothing to do with your salvation except for placing your faith in Jesus. He did it all. You did not work for it. You can't maintain it. You can't do anything to keep yourself saved because you are already saved if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior. And it's never to be taken away, and it's eternal. So, what happens then? Well, people deny it. Why do they deny it? We see in our opening text in 1 Timothy 4 and 1. He said, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Doctrines of devils. Do you know what that means? Well, he's going to give us a list of some of those doctrines of devils coming up there in verse 2 and 3. But what that means is that people are allowing Satan to influence their decisions and their thoughts upon the Word of God. You see, Satan will try to get you to not believe the doctrine of the Bible. He will get one little passage of Scripture over here that and twist it around and make you think that all these other 64 places didn't mean what they said. And so they don't believe in eternal security, and they will fight you tooth and nail over it. I mean, they are relentless. I'll probably post this on the internet tonight, and there'll be somebody will complain and say that I'm preaching eternal security, and I'll say, yes, I am, because that's what the Bible teaches. It's the doctrine of the Bible. So, here we see that there's other doctrines out there that's not of God. Paul tells Timothy to be looking for these things, because in the latter day, which, by the way, we're in now, the latter days, that this is going to happen in the latter times, that people will stray from the truth and they will trust in doctrines of devils and seducing spirits. He says, give heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. Notice that Paul goes on to give Timothy examples of these devilish doctrines. Look, he says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats. Now, all these things that Paul was talking about Timothy was very prevalent in his day, certainly because of the Jews, all the traditions of the Jews that they wanted to keep continuing on. But these same doctrines of devils are prevalent today in our society. These same things are happening. All these are contrary to the teachings of Jesus. If you notice, they're all dealing with religiosity, a religious form and function, and carrying out the traditions. It's not based upon God's Word. It's based upon their traditions. And so look at this, speaking lies and hypocrisy. Now, we studied on Wednesday night about Ananias and Sapphira, and we saw it was the first time hypocrisy was brought into the church. What were they doing? They were pretending to be people that they were not. They pretended they did something, and they didn't do it. And that's hypocrisy. We find that going on today all over the place. Satan, and Peter even said, why did you allow Satan to enter into your heart? Why did you allow Satan to influence you to lie to the Holy Ghost? Why did you do that? Because it's a doctrine of the devil. It's the doctrine of the devil. Forbidding to marry, Paul mentions. Look at the Catholic Church. You see all these priests in the Catholic Church? And you see in the news almost on a regular basis of what they're doing, these Catholic priests that do not marry, they're giving into their lust and into their sexual desires, and they're doing things with young men and then getting caught for it. Why? Because they're following doctrines of devils. Because God never forbade the man of God not to marry. When Jesus came, anything like that was done away with. The man of God certainly can marry. It's not forbidden. And so these people that are the Catholic faith following this, not allowing their priests to get married, that's a doctrine of the devil. And we see the call, what happens to it. They fall into sin. Look at that other one, commanding to abstain from meats. Again, another religious ritual, religiosity. The Jews had grown up abstaining from certain meats. And we've even seen the struggle that Peter had with this. And he had that vision of all that meat coming down. I mean, it was a struggle for the Jew. It really was. But when Jesus Christ hung on the cross of Calvary and he shed every drop of blood, he became the last sacrifice that was ever needed to be made, ever. Ever. No other sacrifice ever has to be made. He was the last sacrifice, the perfect one. And so that did away with all the rituals of the meats and the sacrifices and all this. It did away with all that. All that's gone. And that's what Paul kept teaching. And he had to get on to people. Paul was getting on to Peter. He was getting on to the other leaders. Even Barnabas strayed over and, you know, he wouldn't associate with the other people. And they wanted to do all these religious acts. Well, this is a doctrine of the devil. The devil will try to convince you that you still have to abstain from meat. You still have to not get married. You still have to, you know, do all these things. Plus, you know, they always add things. It's always plus. Don't worry about what the Bible says. You still got to do this and that and this and that and trust Jesus. And that's what the Judaizers were doing. They were coming in telling people they had to still get circumcised, they had to abstain from meat, and trust Jesus, or you couldn't be saved. And so this same doctrine of devils was going on. Yeah, we see the Bible teaches that the exact opposite of this trying to keep your salvation. Ephesians 2 and 5 says, "Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So all these works that all these people are trying to place the burdens upon Christians or those who are looking to trust Jesus, all this burdens was works. And so that's this doctrines of devils is always leads to works. Man, for some reason, can't get out of his head that he really can't do everything. For some reason, we think that we can do everything, even save ourselves and keep ourselves saved. If I had to keep myself saved, I'd be unsaved every single day. There would be nobody going to heaven if we had to maintain our salvation somehow and keep ourselves saved. Jesus is the one that does that. You may think, well, you know, I'm sure of my doctrine and I know what I believe and there's not any danger of me ever straying from the real truth of the doctrine. Well, I hope that's the case. But we find Paul himself teaching this young man, Timothy. And Timothy now, he is a smart young man. Timothy's been brought up in the Scriptures. His mother and grandmother taught him Scripture. Paul took him around with him on missionary journeys. He taught him doctrine. So Paul's making sure. Now, Timothy, listen to me now. If you want to be a good minister, you want to be a good pastor, and you want to help people, remember this. And not only do you remember it, but you put them into remembrance of what I'm telling you. To always abide by the doctrine. Don't stray from the doctrine. Don't go outside of it. Don't add things onto the doctrine. Don't get over here mixed up into all this mess, because when you do, you're getting into the doctrine of devils. You're getting into that. And so he has to remind him. He said there in verse 6, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained." And there's that word doctrine. He says good doctrine. Hey, all it takes to destroy a Christian, all it takes is to destroy our testimony, all it takes to destroy a ministry, all it takes to destroy a church is to get off of good doctrine and get into bad doctrine. Bad doctrine, every time, 100%, will destroy a church. Bad doctrine will. You allow it to come in, you allow it to fester, you allow it to, it's just like a black canker cancer that will take over and it will eat its way until the church is destroyed. When you allow bad doctrine into the church. We always look to the Bible for our doctrine. And that's all it takes. You think I'm making this up? Let me give you three examples from this month and last month of where this has happened. Listen to this. This may shock you if you don't know this. On October 28th, in the Christian Examiner, they reported on this. In Hattiesburg, Mississippi, last week, a Baptist association in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, dismissed one of its member churches for affirming the homosexual lifestyle. The decision came after the Pine Belt Baptist Association discovered GayChurch.org list University Baptist Church as an affirming church on its website. Noting that the GayChurch.org website defines affirming as the church does not view homosexuality in of itself as a sin. The association gave the University Baptist a choice. Disassociate from the website or disassociate from the association. The association gave the church till 2 p.m. on October 20th to make a decision, and they refused to. They are no longer holding fast to the doctrine of one man, one woman in a relationship the way God teaches in His Word. The doctrine of the Bible. They strayed from the doctrine and got on bad doctrine. Booted out of the Baptist Association. Listen to this one. October 15th. Church faces ultimatum after voting in female pastor. With a letter in the door this week, the Greater Tabernacle Church was kicked out of County's Baptist Association because their pastor was a woman. The vote Monday was 73-4, a no-tolerance policy for a female pastor. The pastor, and listen to this, the pastor said, "It's a terrible distraction from what's really important. Everybody may have their differences in how they worship and what time they worship and things like that, but the center of attention should be on Jesus. And He was crucified, period," she said. Well, sure, she wants to get the attention off of herself and put it on something else. But if you look at the doctrine of the Bible does not allow women to pastor churches. It's not in there. And so she's going against the doctrine, the good doctrine, and getting into the doctrine of devils. That's another good Baptist church. It's no longer a good Baptist church. They've been kicked out. Let me give you the final one here. This just happened this month, just a few days ago, November 10th, in the Greenville Baptist Association. They voted to dismiss Augusta Heights Baptist Church from its register on October 22nd after Pastor Greg Dover officiated a same-sex marriage on October 10th. The vote was unanimous. Al Phillips, Director of Missions for Greenville Baptist Association, said the wedding, which was not performed at Augusta Heights, was conducted with the deacon's approval. Phillips said in his report to the association after the vote, it was clear that Augusta Heights had left the biblical view of marriage as between a man and a woman and accepted same-sex marriage. That was three churches, Baptist churches. Baptist churches. They've left good doctrine, and now they're following the doctrines of the devil. Baptist churches accepting homosexuals and marrying gays, allowing women to pastor churches. I mean, my goodness, what have they done? You know, I'm Baptist to the bone. I was born in the Baptist hospital to Baptist parents. A Baptist grandfather was a Baptist preacher. I wanted to be called Byron the Baptist, but they wouldn't do it. I tell you, I'm Baptist through and through, but more than that, I am a follower of Christ. I'm a believer in the Bible. I'm a believer in doctrine of the Bible. Above being Baptist, I believe the doctrine of the Bible. And you might as well, if you don't believe all of it, you might as well not believe any of it. It's all 100% true. Bible doctrine. Listen, because of Bible doctrine, I can state this, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you've received and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again that third day according to the Scriptures. Thank God for good Bible doctrine. Because of good Bible doctrine, we have assurance of faith in Christ. We have assurance in eternal security. We have assurance that God means what God says. And we have it all written down right here in His holy word. We don't have to guess about it, think about it, or even dispute it, because you can't dispute the Bible. It's all 100% correct. So meanwhile, what do we do about this? How do we stop? How do we put the brakes on bad doctrine? We'll be finished. Listen to this. Paul tells Timothy in verse 13 of our opening text. He said, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation." There's that word. "To doctrine. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this," that's verse 16, "this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." My friend, meanwhile, we must do what Paul told Timothy. We must heed the doctrine. We must abide in the doctrine. We must stick to the doctrine. Because once you get outside of doctrine, you've already gone downhill into apostasy. You're going into hypocrisy. You're going into the doctrines of devils. Friends, we must stand firm on the doctrine of Jesus Christ as laid out in the Scripture. I'm going to ask them to come to give the invitation song tonight, and we'll give the invitation. If you have a need, I don't know what your need may be tonight, whether it be salvation, backslidden condition, whatever it is, a struggle. If you want to come tonight and pray, I'd be glad to pray with you. But I believe we're going to do the invitation song. If I've got it written down here, it's in the Inspiration Hymnal on page 82. "Jesus Paid It All." Page 82 in the Inspiration Hymnal. You can stand tonight and just sing along. If you have a need, you come down.